Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
To have him turn directly against you?
Absolutely. Whew. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm. Even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. Not just a little bit of fighting. Fighting on steroids. And I will smite the inhabitants of the city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterwards saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, and such as are left in the city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey, for a gift. So, after I've told you that I'm the one fighting against you, if any of you stay in this city, you're dead. Any of you that leave the city, there's going to be some reward in doing that. Because I've told you, I'm the one fighting against you. And we have to understand, Nebuchadnezzar is a servant of God. God's not joined the rebellion. God is in control of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. In fact, he calls Nebuchadnezzar in another place in this Bible, my servant. Nebuchadnezzar wrote one of the chapters of Daniel. By the end of his reign, he was an all-out, full worshiper of the God of the Israelis, God of heaven. At this time, he is a servant of God in the least of abilities, but he will learn. And you watch, you go back to the book of Daniel, and you see the progression of the life of Nebuchadnezzar and his understanding of who the living God is and absolute worship of the living God there at his end of his life. Verse 10, for I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. I'm touching the house of the king of Judah, say, hear ye the word of the Lord. O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Disobedience, Christian, is the only sin in this book. It's the only thing that keeps you from the blessings of the Almighty God that he wants to bestow upon you every day. Behold, I am against thee, O inhabitants of the valley and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us? Or who shall enter into our habitations? Pride. Pride to a nation, America, who says we are great. Who can possibly harm us? We have the greatest military in the world. And I'm quite proud of our military. I was a part of it one time. And as far as carnal militaries go, it is quite powerful, but to make the statement we're the greatest, none can come against us, we see that over and over in this Bible. God does not like the proud and the haughty.
Yes, sir.
And just because of pride, sometimes pride is lifted up to the Almighty and he puts it down just to show that he can do it. And he sometimes puts it down with very powerful ones are put down with very weak ones. Goliath, you know, 10, 12 feet tall, whatever you were, put down by the little shepherd boy. Back a few chapters, God says, because of all of your disobedience, all these nations are beating up on you. Even that little tiny nation over there, they come and thumped on you too. You know? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about. Chapter 22, Between the Lines, with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, knee deep in Jeremiah today. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and speak there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Go down and talk to the son of David, who sits on his throne. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. He's saying, get yourself back to the law. All those things are listed in the Levitical law. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me, and the head of Lebanon. Yet surely will I make thee a wilderness, and cities which are not inhabited. He's basically saying, you are fine to me. You are a wonderful thing to me. But I will make you a wilderness if you do not turn around, Christian. God looks at all of his children with tender eyes, full of kindness and joy, but your disobedience turns his face away. You got to be obedient. You got to follow God with all your heart, or as much of it as you can possibly muster on a daily basis, and that should be your daily focus. How can I follow God more today than I did yesterday? And I will prepare destroyers against thee, everyone, with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And he's talking about the higher ups of the nation. He's talking about the greatest men of the nation, not just the lowly serfs, not just the poor people. He says, I'm going to reach into the finest houses and cast them into the fire. Many nations shall pass by the city. They shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? God is always concerned about what the outsiders think of how his children are doing and how he treats his children. And Moses used that in the wilderness when God continually wanted to wipe them out. Moses always said, what will these other nations think, Lord? But at this point of the nation of Israel's life, they have gone so far from God, he really doesn't care, and he's going to have them carried into Babylon. Then they shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. There, the answer, what will these other nations think? And God's going to make sure that they absolutely know why this was done to them, not out of his wrath, not because he's a vain God or a mean God. They're going to know. They caused this. They turned their back on God. Christian, you turn your back on God. That's why your finances fail. That's why your car breaks down. That's why you have problems at home with your children. That's why you have problems at home with your wife.
Unless you're under a generational curse.
Yes. Well, you break that when you come into the presence of Christ and his wonderful, wonderful sacrifice. And that's so convoluted there. There's a lot to be. That's a whole nother sermon. Yes, we're just going to go right past that one for the moment. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. For thus saith the Lord, touching Salam, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which resigneth instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. So, Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reside instead of Josiah, his father. He is the last king to be on the throne of Judah before captivity. And there's a whole lot to be said about that, because God said, I will place a seed of yours, David, on the throne of Judah for eternity. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But he shall die in the place where they have laid. He's going to die in Babylon. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. That saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Excess. Woe to him who desires excess in this life. And it all started with Solomon. Catch us on past chapters, WVFFradio.com. Solomon started it all. Absolute excesses. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Are you going to reign because you have the greatest palace there is? No. You only reign because I allow you to reign, saith God. You only have blessings, Christian, because you follow me with all your heart, and I allow it. Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? Okay, your father had it good because he followed my statutes, and he provided justice in the land like my law told him to do, and it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and the needy, and it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? Yes, because he feared me, and I told him that's how a king shall act. You shall have justice in the land. You shall follow the law. You shall have justice for everyone. But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence. You're nothing like your father. You are in it for yourself. You're in it for money. You're in it for power. You know nothing of me, saith God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Oh, my brother, or Oh, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Oh, Lord, or Oh, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass. Oh, like an animal. Drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry for the passage. For all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. And he did. Isaiah, Jeremiah both came to the kings when things were good, told them what was coming, told them how to mitigate what was coming. Go back to God. Repent. This hath been thy manner from thy womb, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors. Pastors, not pastures, because the pastors of the priests of the land are some of the worst folks there is. And we've seen the Levitical line go into preaching for profit long time ago. And thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. That's an interesting statement there, Jonathan. What's it say of the men in the end days cast in hell? They'll be ashamed and confounded for all their wickedness. Basically sending them into a earthly hell in captivity. And when they get there, they're going to remember all the words of the prophets, why this has happened, and the remorse is going to be even worse than the physical bondage that they have, just like those in hell.
Especially those who are standing up claiming that they're Christian.
Oh, the priests, yeah, and he mentions the pastors there. Yes. If I would have only done this, if I would have only followed the law, how hard would it have been? It's the same as sitting in hell. And when you're cast in hell, you know, you remember everything that you ever knew, because God said, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. You remember the closeness with God. You remember the desire to be near God. You remember the desire to worship and serve God. And it says the remorse is just utterly devastating because of the separation from God. And these people say it's almost the same wording there. When you get into captivity, you're going to be so ashamed and confounded for all of your personal wickedness, Christian. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee. The pains of a woman in travail. Bible often compares the worst pain there is to a woman giving birth. Yes, interesting. As I live, saith the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. Wow. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there ye shall die. That's kind of a timeline there. Nebuchadnezzar is going to carry them away, and they're going to be there through the transition into the kingdom of the Chaldeans, because the king of Babylon is overthrown. And so he's giving you a little bit of a timeline there. Turn you over to the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and into the Chaldeans. And then he hasn't said, and I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where you were not born, and where ye shall die. With that statement, Nebuchadnezzar, and then into the nation of Chaldeans, that's the same captivity, and he doesn't end that with, and I will cause you to come forth one day. Let's see, go a little further. Is this man, Coniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel? Can you find out who Coniah is, Jonathan? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they knew not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Very important, that last word there in the passage of 22 chapter of Jeremiah. Because God promised David a line from his seed would always be on the throne. But it says right there, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Because when they're carried into captivity, that is, the Shelem is the last king to sit on the throne of Judah inside the land of Judah. But a council is soon set up in Babylon. The priests and the Pharisees, they know the prophecy that a seed would always be on the throne of David. They establish a king of the line of David in exile in the land of Babylon, and they keep him there, and when the children come out of Babylon later, 80 years later, the king in exile does not return with them. There's never a king ever again in the nation of Israel. When Christ comes and presents his sacrifice on the cross, he goes to paradise and he preaches to the nation of Israel and others who are there. He takes the throne of David at that time, and he takes it with him when he rises. And he says the King of Kings will return. If he does not have the throne, he would be coming back as the Messiah, not the King of Kings. Says he comes, his name written on his thigh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He already has the throne, the scepter, the power. He returns with the throne of David and places it back in this carnal earth. There is your promise, absolutely fulfilled by God, so there would always be a line of the nation of the King of David on the throne of Judah, culminating with Christ, born of the line of Judah, who has it now. That last word there, because the king in exile never returned from Babylon to to the nation. Did you find anything on that, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, he was a son of Joachim, the king of Judah at the time, and his name means Yahweh is established or Jehovah has sustained.
Ah, he was, so he's, they're referring back to a righteous king. Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right, you've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFFradio.com. It's always a pleasure to be here with you today. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.